now covering a parade. Like, doesn't that sound a little bit odd in itself that you have to cover a parade? Like, what do you do to cover a parade?
It's a lot of standing in on a stage and just taking photos and videos of people doing dumb stuff, and then, you know, it's like a 3-hour build up to for like, you know, 20 seconds of them passing by in a truck.
I've been to Philadelphia many times, lived in Pennsylvania for 13 years, and looking at where they started, about where the stadiums are, and finishing on the steps at the Art Museum, it would seem to me one of the longer parades that I can remember a team having. You know, Boston didn't seem to be as long, and San Francisco, certainly for the Giants in downtown San Francisco, was a lot shorter parade. Did anybody mention that, and is that why they did it, because they wanted so many people to be able to see it?
I think that was the big. I think they expected such a big crowd, and I don't know what the official tally was, but I know this morning they were saying anywhere from 2 to 3 million people were going to be there. So I think they kind of had to, just because of the mass volume of people that were going to be there. But yeah, I mean, it took a while, and you kind of tell as they got farther along. You know, I think at the beginning, Doug Peterson was, you know, letting people touch the trophy, and Jason Kelce was drinking beer with fans on the side, and the players are walking alongside. And as they get farther along, they're all back on the top of the trucks, and kind of some are sitting down, some are just waving. So it exhausted them, but the fans certainly weren't tired the entire time they were out there.
Burned the energy early in the parade. Zach Rosenblatt joining us, covered the Eagles parade, NJ.com. Now, I'm sure as a print journalist, you're going to have to paint the word picture of what it was like there. Can you kind of paint the verbal picture of the scene in Philadelphia today?
It was just nonstop from the word go. I mean, there are people who were out there well before 6 a.m. I took the media shuttle at about, I think it drove through at like 7:45 a.m. And just the levels and, you know, just miles of people, it was just ridiculous. And everybody was just happy, and, you know, everybody's high-fiving. And I didn't see anybody getting into any fights. And the most interesting thing to see was just all the different things people were climbing. There were people, I saw people climbing up on top of the statue that was pretty high up. They were not positioned very well, and I was pretty scared somebody was going to fall off. It never happened. You know, there was like about 10 people that squeezed onto this one tree that I saw. There were people on the windowsills of buildings and libraries, and people climbed on top of trucks and news vans, and just to get a better view or to you know, just to go crazy for the sake of going crazy. But it was just, the energy just never stopped, and it was pretty remarkable considering, like I said before, you know, people had to wait quite a bit before they even saw the players.
Zach Rosenblatt, NJ.com, talking about the Eagles parade. Watching the clips of what happened basically in the same spots Sunday night after the game, and then watching the parade, it seems like a totally, I don't want to say different group, because the people who were there Sunday night, I think, were there, but I think it looked like a lot older people and a lot of kids were there that weren't out there and about on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. This was, you know, Sunday night was a pretty late night, and if you were in Philly on Sunday night, then you were probably at a bar and drinking some booze. And we saw what some of the stuff that made the headlines. I don't think it was as bad maybe as the headlines said, although, I mean, some of the stuff was pretty bad. But, yeah, I mean, it seemed a lot more, you know, familial-oriented and just joy today. I know a lot of people were drinking. The Bud Light was here. They gave out free beer. They like made a promise before the season based on something Lane Johnson tweeted. And, you know, people were drinking beers and having a good time. But yeah, I don't think there was any hostility. There wasn't any. You know, I saw some people escorted away by police, but in the area I was in, I only saw two people. And I saw one guy who had to be taken away on like a medical van. So other than that, it was pretty, I wouldn't say low key, but it was pretty healthy, I guess.
So when is Jason Kelce getting his statue, and where are they going to frame his outfit from now until the rest of time?
Man, I've never seen anything like that outfit for one. But
can you try to describe it for maybe anybody that didn't see it?
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it honestly. It's very, you have to, I would say just Google it, because my words weren't even do it justice. But his speech, you know, he already was a fan favorite, but he just won free drinks for life, and he could be the mayor of this city one day. Like he knows how to win over this town, and he succeeded today for sure.
We're joined by Zach Rosenblatt, NJ.com. He covered the Eagles parade. Now, one of the things I noticed when watching it, you know, they were wearing throwback jerseys. They weren't wearing their own jerseys, and
things along those lines. What was the story behind them wearing jerseys of old Eagles players or even old Philadelphia players of different sports?
Yeah, I think a lot of that was just kind of honoring the, you know, all the people that have come before them who didn't get to do this, but, you know, played a huge part in this city. You know, people wearing Brian Dawkins jerseys and Harold Carmichael. And these are guys that have played, you know, in the heyday of the Eagles and just couldn't get to this point. And I think they just wanted to honor the history of this franchise and this city. I know Chris Long is wearing an Allen Iverson jersey. There's a Virginia connection there, but he also said about that it was because of Allen Iverson, such a legend in this town. And Iverson's another guy who never got to win a title here. So I think the guys on this team just truly embraced this city unlike any team I've ever seen before. And I think that was a big part of it, just kind of honoring those past legends that have played here.
Do you think this was more special? And I mean, I think it would have been any time the Eagles would have won. But because this wasn't an Andy Reid team that was expected to be there, it wasn't a Dick Vermeil team that, you know, they were good for quite a few years in a row. It was like, you know, a second-year starting quarterback at the beginning of the year, then all the injuries. I mean, if you'd written the story, people would have thought you were trying to copy the play, damn Yankees.
I mean, yeah, I think the reason why all the things you just said, you know, this team is just so unique. And from the beginning, you know, there was a different energy around this team, but just the guys in this locker room and like you said, everything they've been through, and they've, you know, every team goes with the cliche that everybody doubted them, but I don't know if I've ever seen a team that was truly as doubted as this team was. You know, even as they were winning all their games, people weren't really convinced they were that good. You know, Nick Foles goes down and they're underdogs in every single playoff game. They go against the Patriots. Everybody expects the Patriots to win. I think they had the biggest line to open in Super Bowl history. And then the Eagles go out and beat them. And, you know, the city just kind of embraced this underdog role. And like you said, you know, with the Andy Reid years, they were expected to go far, and then they always fell short. Whereas, you know, this year, I think everybody in the Philadelphia would have been fine with a 9-7, 10-6 record. It seemed like this was, you know, the first step towards becoming a contender, not the year where they became the contender.
Zach Rosenblatt joining us, NJ.com. You cover the Eagles parade. We also cover the Sixers on a daily basis. And now, one of the strangest stories in sports that really hasn't been talked about outside of Philadelphia as much, Markelle Fultz, number one pick in the draft, has only played in 4 games this year. How would you describe that situation right now?
I don't even know. Just like Jason Kelce's jacket, I don't even know if it's describable at this point. I've never seen anything like it. You know, the Sixers haven't really been that open about it, and I don't think they handled the situation greatly in terms of, you know, they're kind of throwing him out there in front of the media at the end of practice, and as you've seen all those videos online, it's kind of up for scrutiny. But in terms of a number one pick coming in, who was such a dynamic scorer in college, and whether or not he actually did hurt his shoulder or not, the fact that he can't really seem to figure out how to shoot again, it's alarming, and it's weird and strange. We don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back this year. I still think he's going to be a good player in the NBA, but certainly this is such a unique situation that I don't think anybody really knows what's coming.